And now, being the first Wednesday of the month, we're into November already, it's time for our private investigator, Peter, from Absolute Facts. How are you, Peter?
Yeah, good, thank you, Alan. Yourself?
Well, I wish our... Well, it's not our computer, it's my iPad was working a bit better, so I must apologise to the people. You do sound a bit far away, but anyway, we're happy with that. Peter, we sent you away with a couple of questions last time. I think one of them was about crime and the other one was about a profile of a private investigator. So I'll leave it over to you, mate.
Yeah, thanks. So the question was, we brought out some numbers about some crime rates that seemed to peak in the 1990s. And the homework was to find out why the peak was in the 1990s and what caused the shift. I'm going to have to rely, unfortunately, on our counterparts over in the United States for some information.
Always pause here, mate.
Yeah. And basically the start of that is that crime fell sharply in the United States in the 1990s in all categories of crime and all parts of the nation. Homicide rates plunged 43% from the peak in 1991 to 2001, reaching the lowest levels in 35 years. The FBI Violent and Property Crime Indexes fell 34 and 29% respectively over that same 10-year period. These declines occurred essentially without warning, leading experts were predicting an explosion in crime in the early and mid-1990s, precisely the point when crime rates began to plunge. So, of course, the question is, what changed or what happened? Basically, the single most frequent explanation given was innovative policing strategy being put into place. So basically the policing force took the credit. The crime decline was also frequently attributed to increased imprisonment, changes in the market for crack cocaine, the aging of the population, tougher gun control laws, a strong economy, and increases in the number of police. So one gentleman by the name who I have to credit, Alan, is Stephen Davitt over in the States. And basically what he's saying was, after analysis, the main four factors that he could come up with was increase in the number of police was number one, the rising prison population number two, the receding crack epidemic was number three, and the legalisation of abortion was number four.
Oh, right. Oh, very good. All right, Peter, now we had... I know you laugh at my idea of the private investigator, but we did have someone ask if you would give us a bit of a profile, and I know there's going to be, A to Z sort of thing, but just a rough idea of what a private investigator would be.
Yeah, sure. And I must admit, I had a preconceived idea here, and then when I did find some statistics, I was reasonably close to the mark. If you had have asked me for an atypical private investigator, I would have said male. I would have said 40 years of age or older. I would have said an ex-police officer, typically with about 20 years' experience in the police force. I did find some stats. I'm a little bit concerned because according to the stats that I found, there's only 700 private investigators in Australia. That sounds way too low to me, but that's what the number says. Yeah, I think it's to do with the when you do your taxation... Your tax return, you have to put a category in. So apparently in 2016, 700 people ticked the private investigator box. From that, they determined the average age of a private investigator in Australia was 49, the median age, whereas the median age for all jobs in Australia was 40, so generally about 9 years older. Full-time was 59%, so 59% of those people were in full-time employment as a private investigator. The female share of that was 28%, which is probably about what I expected.
Right.
Noting the national average, obviously, is expected to be close to 50, is apparently 48% of people in the workforce female. 70.2% of the main industry category was public administration and safety, which seems like a fairly general category.
That's pretty wide.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I found some interesting things. They listed the primary skills of a private investigator. One was active listening, critical thinking, reading comprehension, speaking, and writing. And in respect to general knowledge bank or knowledge that a private investigator should hold, customer and personal service, English language, clerical skills, knowledge of law and government, and knowledge of computers and electronics.
Peter, we know you're a licensed private investigator. Do you have to take? I know you've probably got to check your background and all that. Do you also have to take an exam on laws, or is that just something that you pick up as you go along?
No, you've got to complete. Basically, the license is renewed every 3 years, and yes, obviously, you go through a full police check like most people do for that line of employment. You have to hold certificates, so certificate 3 and preferably certificate 4, and you have to keep yourself abreast of the legislation. Mind you, in Victoria, as I understand it, the last lot of legislation was actually in 2004. So there haven't been many amendments since then. So it's a very the legislation is possibly adequate, but it's certainly not keeping up with changes in technology.
Oh, gee. Peter, can I ask you, and any of these questions you don't want to answer, how long have you actually had your licence?
Yes, I can answer that. Since 1990.
Oh, that's all right, yep.
Yeah, so back then it was when I originally got my inquiry agent's licence, it was actually granted through the magistrate court, not through the police.
Oh, right.
And it wasn't too long after that that Victoria Police took over they set up what's called the licensing and registration division of Victoria Police, and they took over all of that licensing and registration for licensed inquiry agents / private investigators and basically the entire security industry. So crowd controllers, the whole gamut of people at work that require a license, yeah.
Peter, just off question without notice, in the 34 years that you've been, or 33 years that you've been a private investigator, what would you say has been the biggest change in your industry?
Oh, it's definitely technology and updates in progress. I mean, you know, back in the old days it was a box brownie camera. I'm not quite that old, but the development in phones, the ability to to record things on your phone and exponentially as they improve in Zoom quality and general quality. I think the internet obviously was a major development. Facebook for a while was an absolutely brilliant resource until people woke up that they were giving away their whole life on social media. And obviously developments in things like cameras and the ability to digitisation and the ability to, gather a lot more better evidence, particularly CCTV-based evidence. It's a lot harder now to say that isn't me, the picture's too grainy, because these days the pictures are reasonably clear.
Peter, If you're involved in something, do you have the ability to ask I guess if you're employed by the store it's different, but if it's not, like if something, you, what ability do you have to get CCTV stuff from anybody? Is it just a case of Well, you can ask, or can you apply for a court order, or what happens there?
Yeah, no, the chances of me being provided with CCTV are pretty much nil. You're right, you can ask. you can ask and hope and give an explanation, but at the end of the day, the police have to pretty much request it. So it's got to be an official request from police to provide the access to the footage, or actually the footage itself. I can actually assist in burning the footage or obtaining the footage if that was appropriate, and I had the permission to do that. But I couldn't walk into it anywhere and just say, could I please look at your cameras?
Do the police have that ability, or do they have to get a court order, Peter?
No, my understanding is they don't need a court order unless the business doesn't want to provide it, then they have to get a court order. But generally it's in the... Well, it's usually the business or the company that's making the complaint, so it's in their own best interest to provide CCTV. And a lot of times, too, it could be perhaps a neighbour that might have some cameras, that might have some footage that might assist in trying to solve a crime. And again, it's probably in their best interest as well to cooperate. But I guess some people would resist for reasons best known to them.
Peter, I've just got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more. We're talking to Peter, the private investigator from Absolute Facts. Peter, you want to talk about a report that you've read?
So there was a couple of newspaper articles that piqued my curiosity, and that one was thieves treating service station like fuels, as in a play on words, with the headline being that $21 million a year is being stolen in Australia by Bowser bandits, as we've called, and that's only in Victoria, which is interesting. So imagine what the national number.
That's a lot of money, isn't it?
Yep, thousands of motorists have driven off without paying for their fuel, attributing to the mounting cost of living pressures, being cited as the major reason for people just to basically fill up and drive off. So, that was interesting. Again, got to attribute the Herald Sun, and it's saying more than 4,100 drive-offs reported in the last 12 months to March of this year.
That's just in Victoria, 4,100.
Yeah. So it's obviously a bit of a problem. So yeah. So that was something that pricked my curiosity. And then there was a report about retail theft as well, along similar lines, which is trying to sort of segue into that. And that was saying that they did a survey. It wasn't a particularly large sample size, but it was I think 1,100 people, and there was that they were making admissions about things that they'd matters that they'd done, like sort of scanning the wrong item at the supermarket checkout, or not scanning every item, things along those lines. So it was quite a basically, the headline was saying millions in despair, basically, again, due to the cost of living pressures, and people were making admissions that 5%, for argument's sake, had stolen items at the supermarket self-checkouts, 4% admitted to cheating at the self-checkouts by lying about what they had scanned, 4% had driven away from the petrol bowser without paying for fuel, which we just discussed.
Yep.
And 2% had left a cafe or restaurant without paying.
Gee, that's rough, isn't it?
So, yeah, not a very big sample size. It was only 1,063 people, but I guess the trend and the statistics are probably proportional, I should imagine.
Very much the same. Peter, I'm just going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Live your life right. Oh, Mama, dear, we're not the fortunate ones. And girls, they're all
talking to Peter, our private investigator from Absolute Facts. Now, Peter, you want to talk about retail workers, because I think at the moment they're getting a pretty hard time and none of it's their fault.
Yeah, that's true, Alan, and we've touched on this in the past, but there was an interesting article in today's paper which some of your listeners might have already seen, and basically it starts off by saying, as customer violence spirals out of control, retail workers are taking a stand and pleading to be treated with respect. And in fact, they've come out with a new campaign to try and combat the rising incidents of abuse and violence against retail workers. I actually hadn't heard of this. Apparently it kicked off in 2017, and the latest version is called No One Deserve, which will be launched in the lead up to Christmas to encourage customers to treat retail workers with courtesy and respect. And then there was some statistics, as always quoted. Incidents of customer violence against retail workers increased by more than 50% over the past 2 years, which I think was one of your questions you were asking me a little while back about the increase in the incidents there.
It's very unfair, isn't it? It's very unfair.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So they're putting up billboards across major shopping centres, and hopefully they'll get the message out before Christmas. And customer abuse and violence is a serious workplace health and safety issue for retail workers across Australia. That's a quote from a Gerard Dwyer, National Secretary of the SDA, which is, I'm not sure what, Shop Distributive and Allied Employees Association, yeah.
Peter, and a lot of these are young people in their first job, and it's just not fair.
No, absolutely, absolutely, and it can really scar them and push them away from, you know, customer service and retail in general, put them right off. Which is, you know, which means that we can't get people to work in shops if they're going to be confronted with, you know, bad behaviour and poor behaviour on the part of the customer.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing it's always been around, but it's just that the fact that it's, I think people are becoming more more demanding and more agitated and less understanding.
And some of these shops just aren't able to get as many workers as they want. So people, but there's no excuse for it.
Oh, no. I think there could be an element of understaffing as well. So that could be an element of that, and also perhaps an element of, you know, desperation to get people to actually do shifts, and therefore, you know, perhaps they're not quite the experience or quality of personnel on the shop floor, so to speak.
All right, we'll take another quick break and we'll be back with more with Peter.
I'm not afraid to Yarra Valley FM 99.1 is now broadcasting from new studio facilities at 9 Lilydale Road, Healesville.
Sound so true, it almost startles you.
Feel free to get in touch via email info@yarravalleyfm.org.au. Call us on 59615991.
It's only the beginning.
Reception so clear, performance so great, you'll wonder what you've been missing.
Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. Always.
And welcome back, and we're talking to Peter, our private investigator from Absolute Facts. Peter, this, what you're going to talk about now is an absolute bugbear of mine. People continue to do it, so I'll be pleased to hear what you've got to say about it.
So possibly attitudes towards retail staff probably may extend to people when they're driving on the road, Alan. So the RACV is urging drivers to back off from tailgating, which apparently enrages even the calmest motorists, which might apply to you, Alan, perhaps.
Annoys me.
So they're pointing out, of course, that it's downright dangerous and reminding everybody that... the rule of thumb is a 2-second gap between vehicles, so you should be able to count 1, 2 before you get to the spot where the vehicle in front of you was. And of course, Victoria Police have chimed in by and revealing that there's been more than 10,000 fines for tailgating handed out to motorists in the past 5 years, so 2,000 in a year. Yeah, which is interesting. I've never actually been aware of that being particularly enforced.
If they've sent out 10,000 fines, there'd be 100,000 people doing it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So the offence, as it's written in the statute, is failing to drive a sufficient distance behind a vehicle and can cost up to $248 and, of course, the loss of a demerit point. So, and further to that, the RACV chimes in and says that... 41% of car accident claims were due to rear-to-end collisions, which, of course, would include tailgating mishaps.
Sure.
So, to be honest, I'm surprised only 41% of car accident claims were rear-to-end collisions. I thought that was the majority of car accidents, to be perfectly honest with you.
I would have thought
that. Yeah.
All right, Peter, we'll take another quick break, and then we'll start to give you some homework. We've got a beauty this time, I think.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
Stuck on you. Got this feeling down deep in my soul that I just can't lose. Guess I'm on. And the way I feel now, I guess I'll be with you till the end. Guess I'm on my way. Mighty glad you stayed. I guess it's time for me to come on home. Guess I'm on my way. It's so hard to see that a woman like you could wait around for a man like me. Guess I'm on. Thank you. down deep in my soul that I just can't lose. Guess I'm on my way. Needed a friend, and the way I feel now, I guess I'll be with you till the end. Guess I'm on my way. I'm mighty glad you stayed.
Peter, when I was talking to you, I think it might have been 2 or 3 months ago, you couldn't come because you were on were on surveillance. And so you the next month we talked a little bit about it. But I've had a number of people contact me and wanting to know a bit about surveillance. So now, I understand, we all understand there are things that you can't or don't want to tell us because it's part of the way you operate. I understand all that. But the sorts of things I'd like you to perhaps put together a little package. What's the longest surveillance you've ever done?
Yeah.
Whether it be, you know, 30 hours or something like that, or maybe over days or something. Where your surveillance is normally done. Now, I presume some of it's in the car, but they'd like to know, have you ever had to do it in like a shopping plaza where you've got to buy copious amounts of coffee to keep you, you know, to keep yourself going?
I wish.
Well, something like that. Or have you ever done it in, well, I'd say exotic places, but places like the zoo or a museum or something like that, other than just sitting in the car watching it? Is there anywhere you've had to do that? Have you ever been caught out by looking... you were surveilling someone and they've come up and tapped you on the shoulder and said, well, I know you're looking out for me. They'd also like we all know we've all got body functions that we've, things have to happen. Have you ever, in the few minutes you had to go away and do that, as the person, what you were trying to find out has happened and it's all over, you've missed out. Now, that's no reflection on you at all, because we all have to do things like that, and maybe it's never happened. And maybe just a bit of a profile on what surveillance is about. You know, is it something you spend, well, I suppose that part of this is in the length of it, do you spend days on it, or, you know, I was going to ask you what... the person asked me what the greatest asset to you would be, and I would suspect, and I thought this, and you've just more or less said it before, the mobile phone, and it's now the phone, the photos you get from these new phones are just absolutely clear cut, aren't they? There's nothing like the old days. You hoped you could see the person. So I guess... It really has generated a lot of interest from the folks. Now, there may be other things that you can tell us that they haven't asked you, but, yeah, it seemed to drag quite a few people in wanting to know a bit about what surveillance is all about.
Yeah, look, it is an interesting thing. In my experience, just I can obviously address all the... issues that you've raised next month, but just in general terms... I found from my experience that it's basically a 50-50 split when I've asked for people to help me from time to time, which has happened, and half of them can sit there and stare at something for, you know, a few hours on end, and the other half just can't do it. And probably more importantly, when something happens, half of the people freeze, and basically it happens and they let it happen and they see it happen, but they don't react. And then the other half... do react and sometimes might get a little bit overexcited, but that's probably more of a good thing than a bad thing. So
yeah, so if you could have a look at that, please, Peter. There's probably other things in that that I haven't that the people haven't actually covered, but it's just fascinating. And then, you know, I guess when we talk about the longest, and you just alluded to a bit, whether you have 24, whether you've ever had to get 24 hours where you've got other people, because I think you mentioned, I'm not putting words in your mouth here, but I'm pretty certain last time you mentioned that you were part of a team. So obviously there are times when there's just more than one person. But if you can have a look at that for next time, I'm surprised how much interested that one, and it was only more an off-the-cuff remark that we made, and I'm surprised what sort of, how much is generated, how many people are interested in it.
Yeah, sure, and I've written down a topic, and there's been books written on this, and I've written it down for my own prompt, but we'll call it The Art of Surveillance.
Is there?
Do you like that? Yeah, yeah. There's actually books out about it, funnily enough, again, mostly based out of the States.
Yep.
But when I read them, there was some, from my experience, there were some fatal flaws in the book itself and their suggested art of surveillance. So, yeah, it's just one of those things. And look, I think I've said this to you before, Alan. I still make many, many mistakes out in the surveillance world, out in the field. Just things happen. So,
well, I guess it's not in an ideal situation, is it? It's not the other person sitting there waiting for you, and it's just what it is.
Yes. Well, I can't keep driving around in my red Ferrari all the time, Alan. people do notice when I'm driving around in my red Ferrari. In my dreams, of course.
I guess the other thing too, Peter, if you could just add to that, apart from that, one of those questions that we had was, have you ever been rumbled by the person that you were trying to surveil? But have you ever had the police come up and knock on your car door or wherever you might be and said, hey, Charlie, you've been here too long. What are you up to?
Yeah, the yes is the answer to all those questions, but I'll cover it under next week. And obviously, I'm never have the danger of being mistaken for Tom Selleck either. So.
Well, you always pick on me saying that I've got the wrong idea of what the PI is, but I only got mine off the TV. But I think a lot of people have the same sort of impression. I must be honest with you.
Yes, and I think we've discussed this before too. It's one of the things I have to get across to my clients is that it is nothing like the TV and movies when you're actually out there in the field. It just doesn't work as seamlessly as that, and you can't sort of sit in the blatantly obvious spot, and you never get the car parked that you want to get either. I can guarantee that. So
probably,
yeah,
not.
There's some frustrations along the way, that's for sure.
Peter, look, thank you for your time again. I've got to go to let Greg in the studio, but I really appreciate your time, and I look forward to next month. Of course, will be the last this year, and I'm grateful to be able to tell the audience that you've agreed to come back again next year, because we obviously have a lot of people listening to this segment, and we really do appreciate your time.
No problem at all. Thank you, Alan, and I'll get on with my homework, the art of surveillance.
Thanks, Peter. See you, mate. Bye.